¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Welcome back to Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce. Rob and Chris are there. We are here right now in the end of June, barreling into Money in the Bank. So we're here to preview that. And then we'll also get through some more weeks of June 2007. It's been a fun ride in pro wrestling for, I guess you could say, the last 3 years with this Bloodline storyline. And I think we are hitting the apex. As of now, we could just keep climbing up the mountain of how good it can go, right? But now we're finally getting main event, I would assume. It can't be another match that main events Money in the Bank. Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa against the Usos being branded a Bloodline Civil War. It's one of those matches where it's like, you can absolutely see Roman losing but not taking the pin. The problem is, it wouldn't be as meaningful if Roman did not take that pin.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, because then it would kind of just be like the Night of Champions match where, lost. And it feels like, and I know Roman hasn't been pinned in, since he's gotten the title. And
Aaron Corbin was the last guy to pin him in 2019.
And you could argue that, doing it here instead of the person that beats him for the title, maybe it's not great. But, like, the Usos do kind of deserve to be the ones to do it.
Yeah, they do. I agree.
And then, if Cody or whoever pins him for the title at WrestleMania, it's still kind of, it's still impactful. It's, 9 months from now. So, I think Roman probably does have to take the pin, especially if they're going to have the Usos win, which you would imagine.
I feel like you got to build towards SummerSlam, and there's still a marquee championship match that needs to be had at SummerSlam. I don't think you run it back as a tag at SummerSlam. So for me, in order for whatever match we get at SummerSlam to be meaningful, Roman has to eat a pin. And I don't see why he doesn't. If you want to keep it a buck, like it's high time for Roman to start eating pins. In eating pins in a tag team faction against folks who we need to start seeing as a challenger to him. If they go over at Money in the Bank, where do we go from here? Where does Roman go from here? Who challenges for Roman? I don't see the Usos as a threat, either one of them, for the championship because they lost, if that ends up happening to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it seems more likely, the Usos win and then probably they do Jimmy and Roman at SummerSlam since they already did Jay and Roman, before.
Yeah.
And then, because there's no one else on SmackDown that's really going to be elevated to...
besides AJ Styles.
Yeah, but I don't...
Even then, AJ's not...
And he just lost across...
AJ in a position.
Yeah.
AJ, I feel like... At least right now, probably has more position in the mid card than he does in the main event, and that's not because he doesn't have it. It's just because how they position the OC.
Precisely.
The OC. If he's gonna challenge, the OC got to be on or at least close to Bloodline level. Like, look at the fucking Brawling Brutes. Sheamus ain't get a championship match.
Yeah.
I feel like Sheamus deserves one, but this kind of situation that they're in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with both of your points about Roman needing to take the pin here. I think that is the way to go. I think Jimmy should pin him because, like Rob said, they haven't done Jimmy versus Roman yet. And that, to be fair, that is the story that they are kind of telling right now. At least that was the conflict that kind of started the divide. Jay followed suit, obviously, but... Like we said, we've already done the Jay Roman thing. I don't think we need to walk back to that if we haven't done Jimmy Roman yet. And the thing is, the Usos are WrestleMania main eventers, and thus they have credit.
Yep.
And I don't think that you should neutralize that credit by having Roman or Solo winning here, because that just feels like you're taking the air out.
Mm-hmm.
And with how this has gone, I know everyone, you know, had their complaints about Mania. Doing that would really leave you in a state of confusion as to what's next, because there is no path. Then, like you said, if you're not doing that, why would I be interested in it when we just saw him beat that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
You have to, if you're continuing on this thread, you need Roman to get more irritated, and the only way you're going to do that is if you have him start to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So the Usos need to win this first battle in the Bloodline Civil War. For
yeah,
sure.
I think we're 100% in lockstep here, and it's gonna be fun, man. Beyond the storytelling of it all, truly a match that's never been done before. Because what the hell have the Usos had to go up against Roman Reigns at any point? Maybe when Roman was at the Shield. If I don't know if either one of y'all want to look it up, but maybe if Roman was in the Shield and they faced the Usos. Otherwise, like, it's the first time we're seeing any of these four link up in a match against each other. It's going to be fun just to see what they can come up with, what they can do together. These are folks that know each other their whole lives. You know, it could get 5-star material on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. They did it on a couple SmackDowns and Raws in like 2013, but obviously never on the big stage like this. Because I mean, you know, the Usos have been aligned with him for obviously since he came back, but even before that, you know, when they were doing the Corbin stuff.
Since he came back.
Don't want to remember.
It was like a quasi thing.
They've kind of been aligned since he came back from the leukemia, to be honest with you, because. They had that one Raw where they did it was Drew in the Revival against Roman and the Usos in like the summer of
I remember they brought either the Usos or Roman was like a surprise in like a 6-man tag.
Yeah.
Them all.
And then that was how the OC got introduced, because mm-hmm. they attacked the Usos in LA 2 weeks after Mania 32.
Yeah, so basically since he left the Shield, they've mostly just been aligned.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. you know, and that's, what, 9 years at this point? So.
Yeah, it's almost 9 years.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. What was I going to say? Do you guys think that at some point we could get a real significant fracture here and do a fatal four-way with these four for the title?
That would be enthralling.
That would be pretty cool.
that's what I don't know why I just thought of that, but I was just thinking like, okay, the Civil War, the first battle, is it going to disseminate to okay, are all of them going to converge?
I don't know. If maybe you do that at like the Rumble. It just kind of
you do that at the Rumble, or it could be the last stop to Mania, where Roman is truly alone. Then after that,
that's true.
Yeah,
because I mean, you know, you look at kind of their pay per views that have come out. You know, they're doing Fast Lanes in Pittsburgh Paybacks in Pittsburgh, Fast Lanes in Indianapolis. Yeah. You don't think Roman's probably going to be at either of those?
So I assume they've announced all the way up until Survivor Series.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, there's one more Saudi show I think in there, but other than that, yeah, I think it's going to be because Payback is Labor Day weekend, and then Fast Lanes like the first weekend of October. Probably Saudi show. Saudi show like the end of October, and then Survivor Series, you know, Thanksgiving week.
Exactly.
They haven't announced Survivor Series yet, but I can assume.
No, not yet.
But the way they've been doing it, they even said the other day, you know, they've been giving like each pay-per-view its own moment.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they decide to do that, it'll just be announcing Survivor Series.
Yeah.
All right, let me go back here so we can do the rest of Money in the Bank. It's also cool to see Seth on the promotional poster with the title there.
Oh, yeah. Also, I like, another international pay-per-view. We're going to be out of there by probably
6 o'clock.
Yeah, 5 or 6 in the first day of a holiday weekend. You got to love that.
Yes. And, you know, tonight, by the time you guys listen to this, you have already watched Forbidden Door. I'll try to sneak it in, although it's not likely because I'm on the East Coast and like time works against me over here. But it was like AEW got it for the first couple of like events. because they did, they would do those on the Saturday, or it would be like Sunday going into Monday of the holiday.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was fun. It was refreshing. It was different going into All In on a Saturday night and mm-hmm. having the whole weekend still left for you was fun. You had to worry about having the Sunday scaries and stuff. And then, you know, mainly coming out of the pandemic related and the change towards Nick Khan, and he understood that Saturday is probably the best night to do these shows and to do these pay-per-views. AEW's regressed to going back to Sunday nights, and like, it makes it very hard for me to get hyped up for an event like tonight when you could just unfortunately can't maximize your time now because you have a 2-hour show. But like, it's hard for me to get hyped up now for Sunday night pay-per-views. I don't know if that's a, you know, if you guys are feeling the same, but, and the card's good.
Yeah, no, it is, and I'm excited for it. You know, it's always interesting because I'm like, I don't want to watch it. It's going to end at like 11 o'clock or whatever, but then it's like, you know, I'm up at that time anyway, so does it really matter? Like, but I do enjoy Saturday more, though, just kind of having that extra day to relax and enjoy everything. It's not that, you know, just watching a wrestling show is strenuous or whatever, but, you know, it's Sunday nights are different. You want to kind of wind down and watch the HBO stuff, and you know, you got to watch pay-per-view instead.
Listen, even before football comes, they're going to be fucked for All In, because I ain't going to be watching All In. I'm going to be on HBO on like episode 4 of Winning Time. Mm-hmm. So get out of here. I was going towards Seth because he is defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Finn Balor on Saturday. Haven't seen these two battle for a championship since 2018, yes. Intercontinental Championship. Mm-hmm. But we know these two, when they get in the ring, it's I don't want to say a barn burner, but like, both put on a show with their abilities and what they can do. I don't see a reason for Finn to win here. I think it would only strengthen the divide going on right now in Judgment Day. And you let me know this. It seems like Finn is kind of petering away from Judgment Day and towards an alliance with JD. Don't Google Me.
It seems like it.
It's really interesting. They're definitely doing something with him and Priest. They're laying it on a little thick. I think Finn is getting more bitter. That, you know, he's not getting any reward, you know, his character's not getting any reward or anything for what he's been doing or what he's been trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to lose this match. Seth is obviously going to retain. They're not having the first world title reign only be, what, 5 weeks, 6 weeks?
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever it is. I think the one commentary I have on this match is that it feels like a big deal. But this is a situation where I think that, unfortunately, the last couple of years sort of works against them, in the sense that Seth Finn should feel like, you know, a big, huge match between two guys that the person running the show loves and you know, favors and stuff like that. But you had the whole thing with Finn falling down after he tore his shoulder or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then he only got up as high as the IC title, and then he went to NXT, then he came back, they didn't really know what to do. So it's just sort of, it's funny to think about, like, okay, like, if they actually, like, emphasize this rivalry over the years, I think this could be even bigger of a deal than it is now. Because Finn's main roster run, unfortunately, just was more crushed by what-ifs than anything.
Yeah. No, I agree.
If I could interject real quick before you go into Rob, I just had a thought process in that this might be the best time, if you wanted to do it, for Finn to win it. I understand, like, the divide and Judgment Day and all that, but it's not that long of a turnaround between Money in the Bank and SummerSlam. And if the, you know, you just want to throw Finn a bone, like, hey man, you ain't have a real title reign. Get your win in the UK. It's meaningful because you'll be at home somewhat, and then Seth can get his lick back at SummerSlam or Payback or whatever. And you know, I don't know if it will hurt him too much. Again, like, I don't see it going that way, but I wouldn't mind it. I don't see an excuse for why not.
Yeah, I think it would work. Like, it's not like an egregious decision. I do think Seth's probably going to win as well, and they'll focus more on, you know, maybe Finn will face Priest at SummerSlam or whatever. They'll go that way. But, like, big question is, you know, who is Seth going to face at SummerSlam? Is it going to be the Money in the Bank winner, or do they have something else planned, you know, just based on who's kind of positioned where on Raw, they've kind of used the top heel here.
I swear to God, if he's facing the Money in the Bank winner at SummerSlam, I want Triple H on fucking trial because I know who wins that match if it happens.
Listen, what do you got?
Listen, I'm sure you might have seen it. You might not have. Drew McIntyre, apparently, people saying he might be back.
That's true. That's a good
this
one.
This seven men right now, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's seven men in that, it's only six in the women, but there's still a possibility they may just throw in somebody, right?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is he might turn up after the match and Claymore Seth just to put his stamp in.
That's true, yeah.
That's all you need to do in that case. Just like when Bayley returned last year at SummerSlam to confront Bianca.
Yep.
If Drew comes in there, you might not get the reaction. Actually,
I think you would.
Yeah,
you would. You would because if he came out after they were doing that and they were doing all the chant and it suddenly stopped because Drew kicked him in the face and just kept kicking him in the face, there you go.
Yeah. No, I like that.
I think that that's what they have up their sleeve because I'll talk about that later. I think that that's what they have up their sleeve.
Yeah, we should probably get into just some men's Money in the Bank.
Yeah, let's
your participants for Men's Money in the Bank. Pardon me. Ricochet, Nakamura, LA Knight, yeah. Santos Escobar, Butch, Damian Priest, and unfortunately Logan Paul.
Yeah, I don't know. The Logan Paul thing's interesting because they're really laying it on thick that he's going to be the one that wins. And, you know, that sometimes means he's going to be the one that wins, but oftentimes it means that, you know, it's red herring. And, you know, you watch SmackDown, you see LA Knight. The only problem with that is I don't think he's going to cash in on Roman, which, you know, he's going to have to jump over if he wanted to cash in. But that's really the only guys that they've been kind of putting up. I mean, Damian Priest to an extent, but the other guys are kind of just there.
Okay. They've definitely been putting up Priest.
Yes.
They're setting him up for something. I don't know what it is, but he's being groomed and built into being a future top guy for however long he can be. Nakamura probably has the most cred in this match, I would say, out of anybody besides Ricochet. And then probably Pete Dunne or Butch, whatever you want to call him. Santos, LA Knight is obviously probably the most popular guy in this match. He's a hot commodity, obvious. I think the only concern I have with putting it on Knight is everything after. Because he doesn't have the cred right now to cash in, and he should cash in. And to be clear, anybody who wins these ladder matches should not cash in for at least a month.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't want to see anybody cash in their contracts for a very long time. And I'm probably one of the only people on Earth who's actually okay with the fact that they're not going to have any women's title matches on this show because...
Well, they have a women's tag title match.
They do, but you know what I'm trying to say. Because the person who wins the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match is automatically going to have the longest reign with the case since the first person who won it just because of the way that they schedule these damn shows.
Yeah.
Like, that's so egregious, it's not even funny. Please, wait.
Yeah.
But that's also, that is why I am going to not only predict, but I will make the case for Logan Paul to win it because he could turn up anywhere with it. He's part-time with it as it is. If anybody else who's carrying around the briefcase, we know what that looks like. As much as we want to say it's good, they did it right with Edge. Most of the time, these guys end up losing matches with the case on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're going to want more from it, and then it's not going to end up happening. So for me, the guy in Logan Paul, he's stood up to both current world champions. He's hung in there. He's regrettably the most built-up person in this match in that regard, too. Because nobody else can really say that they've been able to do that.
Yeah, that's kind of a problem.
I get that it's a quote-unquote problem, but he brings in an audience. I mean, he just got them to their peak audience for the segment just this past week. 2 million people tuned in for that quarter where Logan Paul let it off. He brings in an audience.
People or too many incels?
That's true. But I will just say that's my prediction. I think Paul wins it. Goes away for a little bit, can turn up anytime. They can do some teases until they decide what they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. That probably is what they're going to hear.
Here's a thought. Okay, right. So let's play this down the long game. Right. Paul wins. Seth keeps the championship and eventually loses to Gunther, and then Gunther beats the shit out of him when he cashes in.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, that one would surprise me, honestly. Like, I think Logan Paul
is too smart to cash in on Gunther.
Yeah, I think if he gets it, he's going to cash in on Seth. Maybe not, you know, the same night or whatever. Probably not the same night. That might be for SummerSlam or your Drew idea, either one.
That's the thing. They shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
They shouldn't. They should hold off. And Ricochet and Logan Paul are probably going to wrestle SummerSlam.
That's fair.
So I think Paul's going to be busy.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably going to wrestle Ricochet because they've been sort of teasing that and whatnot. They did the thing at the Rumble. They'll probably advance off that in this match.
I mean, I think the one cool thing is this is pretty unpredictable. Because while I said all these guys are built up, any of them could win and I could buy it.
Yes,
I mean, maybe not Butch, but, you know, the other.
Hold on. You say that, but you know that crowd is going to go mental just for him climbing up the ladder and getting close.
I agree. I just don't think he's there yet to, you know.
I don't either. What I'm saying is the crowd can make you buy in because of the reaction that they're going to give.
Yeah.
Because he's going to get one of the biggest pops in this match.
He will, but Butch is going to play the role of CM Punk 2007.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
But, yeah, I mean, if I had to pick someone to win, I would probably go with Logan Paul, but I'm not, like, as confident in it as
other people. It would be an hour to pick LA Knight and be different.
I mean, I think it'd be cool if LA Knight wins, man. You hear how the crowd's...
I know. It's crazy.
Up for him?
I don't... It's so wild because, like, the dude hasn't, like, honestly beaten anybody legitimate, but nobody cares because he can talk his way into the building, and that's great.
Yeah.
That's amazing that he's been able to do that. And it's amazing that he's been able to get so popular so quickly.
Yeah, you know what? That's fine. I'll pick LA Knight then.
I guess I'm picking Damian Priest.
Okay.
You know, of everybody in this match, Ricochet is not winning a championship. Shinsuke, I love you. I fucking love you. Your time has passed. LA Knight, like you said, he's got to beat some legitimate folks in order to keep climbing that ladder. He is primed for the United States Championship.
Yes.
He should absolutely be, you know, in line. Once we're done with doing the Austin Theory game, and honestly, this would be a perfect year for Austin Theory to win it. Unfortunately, he won it last year.
Yeah.
But yeah, LA Knight is going to take some time. Santos, love you too, but I don't see you as serious. Butch, you're going to get the sympathy push, but you're not going to win. Logan Paul's Logan Paul. And, like, understand everything that you just said. I get you. I don't want that briefcase off television.
That's fair.
I don't believe that briefcase should be off television. The fact that that briefcase ends up off television 2 months in because everyone fucking wastes it makes it a waste. And I feel like just putting on Logan Paul, what's Logan Paul going to do? Show up on his YouTube show with it? He's going to go to Prime events with it? I'm good on that.
I guess.
I don't fucking drink Prime. I don't care. Damian Priest is someone that I think they have earmarked as a future star, STAR.
Yeah.
You know, eventually, like, he can hold that briefcase and, you know, everything happens with the Judgment Day, continues to happen, and he can just hold it and hold and hold it. And then next year at some point when he's ready to cash it in and be that main event level guy, he can be that. You know, that should be your person waiting to me is Damian Priest. So I'll go with Priest in this. I would love if LA Knight won, but I understand why he shouldn't. And then Logan Paul would just be my absolute nightmare. Let him be there to do some nice little flippy doos and to get some social media buzz and set up a match with Ricochet. That would be pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie. Him and Ricochet, him in a main event title picture, him holding a briefcase. I'm good. We going a little bit too far.
Fair enough. Fair play. Yeah.
The other one. The women's Money in the Bank ladder match, Zelina Vega, Becky Lynch, Zoe Stark, Bayley, Io Sky, Trish Stratus. I mean, this match is going to be more to advance storylines than anything. The person who wins it, probably going to be Io. But if not Io, I would make a case for Zelina Vega. Because you look at the other four, Becky doesn't need it, Bayley doesn't need it, Trish goddamn doesn't need it. It would only just to be to further Trish and everything she's doing with Zoe Stark. And Zoe Stark is green. And I'm not going to lie to you. My girlfriend saw Zoe Stark for the first time, and she's like, yo, she's hit. So Zelina Vega can be your potential, you know, a top tier Hispanic leading female superstar next to Bayley.
Yeah.
You know, she gets the sympathy, the sympathy buzz. I was there in Wilkes-Barre. The crowd loved her against Lacey Evans. She was pulling the sympathy card in that one too. I mean, if not EO, and I think it absolutely should be EO, because EO needs to be skyrocketed to the moon, then let it be Zelina. But all in for EO, and I'll let y'all make the EO case, because I know y'all.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it is probably EO or Bayley, you know, for the reasons that you laid out. And they're telling a story with those two, obviously, you know, with Dakota out of the picture, the group's going to fret. Even I think if Dakota was still there, they probably would have had EO break away. They're kind of teasing towards that in the first place.
They were doing that before WrestleMania.
Yeah, so it seems like Cody and Bayley singles feud where, you know, one is jealous of the other for having the briefcase. I think it works better if you have Bayley be jealous of EO, but I think but Bayley with the briefcase would be fun too. So I mean, you really can't go wrong. I think if one of those two win, I think, and you know, Zelina's an interesting one. I think anyone else winning
would be a mistake.
Yeah, it would be. But I'm gonna go with EO, I think.
Yeah. Becky and Trish and Zoe are gonna cancel themselves out here, and that's how that's going to go. Zelina is definitely there, probably for hope spots, and obviously I think the story is here between Bayley and EO, and EO winning and Bayley being jealous of her and resentful of the fact that, you know, she'll be back for a year with nothing to have or whatever to reward herself for, and that'll just be continued with EO winning the briefcase. I think is, you know, the best story potential there. As much as I would like to see Bayley win, I don't know if... I think the only way that it works is if it eventually falls out of her hands, which what I would be suggesting is, yes, I think that either way, I think they should feud over the case.
Mm-hmm.
Because personally speaking, this is just a personal POV here. I've never understood throughout the entirety of Money in the Bank, since it became a thing in 2005, why nobody else around can see someone with a golden ticket around them and say, hey, I want that. Hey, why do you have that, and why do I not have that? The only person to do that is Edge. And it worked for him.
No, you're right.
Nobody else has ever, you know, they never had anybody else say to themselves, hey, I could go get that. So, you know, make their feud a little interesting over a guaranteed title shot. Why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, EO should win. Anything else, I think, would be not the right decision.
No, it's fair. Yeah, for sure.
I think this is the most cut and dry Money in the Bank I've seen in a real long time.
Oh, yeah.
Dominic Mysterio is getting a solo match, a singles match against Cody Rhodes. This is definitely the tune-up for Cody to get his third match with Brock in Detroit.
Yeah.
I don't care who wins this. Honestly, like, you can make a case for either or. Cody hasn't lost much. I think his only two losses are to Roman and Brock. I don't think he ever lost to... Yeah, so, you know, understandable why he would pick up this win. But at the same time, for Dominic to get a win over Cody Rhodes, that's huge for Dominic.
Yeah.
And he might be a top three heel in the company at this point.
I think he is, which is very funny.
Men and women. If you encompass everybody, it's Roman, maybe I'm getting Charlotte or Miz or whatever, and like Dominic's in there. Yeah. Dominic's is instant fucking heat.
No, he is right up there. I think Cody's gonna win. Like, this match, it's pretty clearly just to get Cody on the card and let the UK fans see him, which is fine.
Yeah.
You know, I think the build's been good enough. Cody could have skipped this pay-per-view and just waited for Brock, but I understand that he probably didn't want to. They didn't want him to, all that stuff. It'll be a fine match. Like, you know, Cody will play the hits and take care of business and then be off and rolling towards SummerSlam. Everyone I started to think it's going to be like a bull rope match, which would be a spectacle. Yeah, so let's go.
Yeah, Cody's going to win.
Women's tag team championships, which are unified. Yes. Just whatever. Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler against Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. One, so happy to see Liv again. Two,
yes.
Titles aren't changing.
Yeah, I don't think so, which is a bummer because, like, Liv and Raquel were doing a real good job with them. And, you know, this is a match where it would have been nice to get kind of like a proper, and this could be a proper match. I just, you know, it's only got the 1 week of, it's only got the 1 week of build, but obviously that happens because of the injury.
Hold on. There has not been 1 week of the build here. Ronda and Shayna targeted Raquel on Raw several times.
That's true.
And
that's
a good Liv point. And Raquel have a reason to want the title.
Yeah, they never lost.
They were taken from
yeah, exactly.
Lost.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Back to her injury, several.
No, that's
fair. I would say this. I don't think 1 week. I don't think you know the argument is the lack of a build. I think the argument like it's a lack of care. Do you care about this match? Or what's your level of caring about it? Mine would be a 2.
Yeah. I mean,
it'll be fun, and it's good to see you know more women's representation on the
card. Yeah.
It would be my response, and I think that this is probably a concerted effort by the champs to try and get the titles on the show.
No,
because I know Ronda obviously has a lot of pull.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ronda and Shayna have been saying some stuff about how they want to get the titles on the show more, and
I'm not going to wait into that.
Among other things. Ronda does a poison Ronda now, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
what Ronda needs to learn how to do is a proper fucking arm drag. Because I was sitting there on Friday. Good God, I feel for you. God, what's my baby's name? What's her name?
Alba Fire.
Ela Dawn,
thank you. I wanted to call her Alba Fire. But I didn't, so thank God. Yeah, I'm sitting there watching Ela Dawn like, baby, I'm like... She's about to rip your arm out of socket.
Yeah.
Just the recklessness of it all. It's like, bro, you gotta firm this shit up somehow. It's clunky. It's going to hurt people. Like, damn.
I think this match could be pretty decent just because, you know, Raquel, Raquel's not bad.
She's improving.
And Liv is good at just kind of getting thrown around. I don't know how much they're going to want to do that coming off an injury, but... Right. You know, she could take some bumps and, you know, keep it 10 or 12 minutes or whatever, and it'll be good. It's just good that Liv's back. And like you said, you know, there's the way if you want these titles to matter, you have to have them defended on these shows. You have to have, you know, tag teams. And it's a good start. I hope the next step is, you know, they go to Raw more often and work, you know, maybe some of the women that aren't around, they get put in a tag team or something.
To be fair, Ronda and Shane are on Raw.
Oh yeah,
actually, so are all four of these.
Yeah,
all
for
four
sure.
Of them are wrong, so
for sure,
they have no problem working there.
Yeah, I hope it keeps going. I hope they go to NXT at some point. You know, just
they will. I mean, there's never been more fusion than there has been now.
Exactly.
Of course they're gonna go track down there. I mean, they basically just merged those divisions. I think people are people are not for whatever reason seeing that. I don't know why, but there's a lot of worry and concern that they're not going to touch them when, again, they've never done more fusion between the rosters than they are now. They didn't even do this that much in 2019, for God's sake.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is more casual than just building to a show.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I think it's just a match that they got on the card, and it's cool that it's a match that has some stakes to it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think that's it for the card, right? Yeah, just the six matches?
Yeah, I think... Ultimately, I think Riddle and Gunther is probably going to be added.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that they're going to go a show without Gunther defending his title.
And, like, it'd be a crime for Gunther to not defend that title in the UK.
Yeah, exactly.
Agreed.
Yes. Plus, like, that particular match, you know, for all the bad stuff about Riddle, like, that match would be very good.
Yes, it would.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Let's go back to 2007.
Yes, we got 2 weeks here. The first week has 5 shows for some reason. I don't understand why. You will not understand why once we get done reading them. But first, top 5 songs in America. Up to 5 is Home by Chris Daughtry. Staying at 4 is Give It To Me. Staying at 3 is Girlfriend. Down to 2 is Buy Your Drink. And at number 1 is Makes Me Wonder by Maroon 5.
I don't think we've done Home yet, right?
No, I don't think so. And this is... Home was like his big song after American Idol, right? Mm-hmm. So this is right after he got kicked off. Yeah.
What did they promo that with? I feel like everybody's used that song first off, but I know WWE used it.
They did it with Tribute to the Troops.
Yes, they did.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, and he did the Backlash theme song for this year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was him as well. Mm-hmm. That was not Home, but. Yes. Top 5 songs debuting at number 4. Top 5 movies debuting at number 5. Bug up to 4 from 11 is Waitress. Staying at 3 is Spider-Man 3. Moving down to 2 is Shrek the Third. And like we talked about a couple weeks ago, number 1 is Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. All right. Raw from Toronto. Memorial Day. You get a nice long Memorial Day intro, even though they're in Canada. Michelle McCool wins a Memorial Day Battle Royal. Shane McMahon has a big announcement tonight, like he's Tony Khan. Raw's having a tri-branded draft in 2 weeks, and everything's going to go great, so no one worry about anything. And Shane and Umaga and Kali are facing Cena and Lashley tonight. And Shane tries to rap, and he doesn't really have any flow, and it just sounds like he's reading a poem. I don't know why he tried to rap, because John Cena doesn't rap anymore, but, right. You know. We got the Hardys and Caden Murdoch against the world's greatest tag team, Kenny Dykstra and Johnny Nitro. Get an extended period for Matt and Shelton, which is very good. And Trevor Murdoch does a splash off the top rope because he's friends with the Hardys now. Jeff pins Kenny. The Hardys accept Austin Benjamin's challenge for one night stand, but only if it's a ladder match. We get an ad for WrestleMania 24, which is going to be in Orlando, which I don't know if they didn't announce that yet or what the deal was, but they kept it in this show. So it must have been the first time they said it. Obviously, the whole story is WWE basically paid to renovate the Citrus Bowl, and that's how they got the show there.
Did they pay to renovate the Citrus Bowl for this one or for... Or yeah. 2017 was when the renovations to the whole building were actually done, but I think that one was like they was terrible.
Yeah, this one was just like the Citrus Bowl just sitting there and, you know... Someone needed to fix it, and WWE kind of got in on it with Orlando. Probably got a good deal to run it there. And WrestleMania 24 is very good. I'm excited to get to it.
So. It is. It's the first outdoor WrestleMania they did for like 14 years, I'm going to say. So.
Yeah, exactly. John Cena tells Todd Grisham that he is not afraid of Great Khali, which is good. He's facing him twice this week, so... RVD says Randy Orton does not respect the business and did not do Shawn Michaels right last week. So Orton says if RVD has a problem, he can face him later tonight. So they do that match. It's actually quite good. Randy does the middle rope DDT and they stop the match, check on RVD. He says to keep going, and then Randy does the punt and the ref stops the match again. So Randy...
becoming
a real asshole here. also, right at the end of Rob Van Dam, which has snuck up on us here.
It has.
So quick.
Carlito and Victoria defeat Ric Flair and Torrie Wilson. Umaga and Kali are in the back yelling at each other, and Shane restores order, get them back on track. We do a master lock challenge with Santino. Santino comes out and can't break the hold. And then we get Great Kali, Shane McMahon, and Umaga against John Cena and Bobby Lashley. Kali takes out Umaga and Kali takes out Cena, and Umaga takes out Lashley, and Shane pins Lashley for the win, and Vince is proud of him.
Indeed.
That was Raw.
That was Raw.
Yeah.
So Randy Orton appeared at SmackDown in London, Ontario.
ECW,
my bad.
Yeah.
Technically.
It is basically the same thing.
Anyway,
because what is it? Well, real quick, what is it? It's at the end of this year when they do like the quote unquote cross promotional between SmackDown and ECW, where it's really just like an extended version of SmackDown, essentially.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
So Randy Orton said he doesn't feel bad about what he did to RVD, and RVD challenged him to a stretcher match at One Night Stand, so Randy accepted. Tommy Dreamer came out to challenge Randy to a match tonight, and Randy accepted and said he's going to kill the legend of ECW. CM Punk faced Elijah Burke in an Extreme Rules match. Monty Brown came in and pounced Punk through the table in the corner, allowing Burke to get the win. Yep. Kevin Thorne beat Balls Mahoney, and then Randy Orton defeated Tommy Dreamer with an RKO. Did the punt. Van Dam came in street clothes and chased him off, and that was easy to go.
Yeah, not much going on.
Not much, but at least they advanced the story.
That's true.
SmackDown, Benoit and Matt Hardy defeated MVP and The Miz. Hard to say that the team on the left really didn't make out as well as the team on the right. Michelle McCool beat Jillian Hall. Hornswoggle beat the Little Boogeyman. Kane wrestled Mark Henry in a fun monster fight. Mark Henry won by countout when he ran Kane's spine first into the ring post. Deuce and Domino not concerned after getting broken up in the draft. Well, that's good, I guess. Deuce and Domino defeated Regal and Taylor and Leonard and Kendrick in a tag title match. Wow, they actually won a match.
They did.
Vicky Guerrero told Ted Long and Crystal to leave early. She can run SmackDown for the rest of the night. I'm sure that's not weird or anything. Her appearance on the show is just totally random.
It is.
Coincidentally, it's time for the cutting edge. Edge welcomed his guest Batista, who insisted Edge was intimidated by him, but Edge says he's not. Batista said he should be and knocked him out of the ring and sent him packing to end the show.
Yes.
Pretty flat anyway.
That was SmackDown. Now it's time for Saturday night's main event, which they did not promote on television at all this week.
Nah.
So it shows how Saturday night's main event is doing. Great Khali defeats John Cena in a non-title match. Not going to watch him wrestle 2 days in a row because they wrestle one night stand as well. So Vince and Lashley are going to arm wrestle, but then Mark Henry takes Vince's place and Vince hits Lashley with a chair. Benoit and Batista defeat Edge and MVP when Edge leaves MVP on his own. Hornswoggle and Finley defeat Boogeyman and Little Boogeyman. They're really high in this Little Boogeyman stuff. It's funny because he's a little person, you see.
Right, yeah. You know, Vince loves it when little people wrestle. But not really, like, you know, when you think about it, not really.
Yeah. Kane, Eugene, and Doink defeat Viscera, Umaga, and Kevin Thorne in your main event.
What was the purpose of this Saturday night's main event?
And you know the thing, like, the Saturday Night's Main Events in the 80s and the early 90s, that was the only, like, primetime WWF you were getting. But when you're doing three shows a week, it doesn't feel any different.
But, right, like...
Why are you putting that on the paper?
Well, yeah. I mean, the next one is good because, you know, it's got Matt Hardy and Evander Holyfield. That's fun.
Yeah,
right.
You know, and I think they do the Masters and Lashley Master Lock Challenge, I believe. Like, that's what it should be. It should be more of a spectacle. But other than... You know, Benoit and Batista and Edge and MVP, like, you're not really getting anything. And even that's like,
you are
regular SmackDown tag match.
You are, and you had the benefit of pre-taping it. And I understand if you got live events coming up after you pre-taping, if you don't want to spoil anything, how about you just end something at this pay-per-view, right? Yeah. Have a story that you're going to finish out, or sorry, at this pay-per-view, at this event. Have a story that you're going to finish out at Saturday night's main event that's not going to be on the pay-per-view, and that saves so much more time for this pay-per-view. You know what I love about this upcoming Money in the Bank? We didn't even mention all of the good shit happening on Friday. There is a lot of good matches. You got the tag team match with Pretty Deadly and Kevin Owens.
Yep.
You got the... Is it the WWE Women's Championship?
Yeah.
With Charlotte and Asuka. Those are two main event marquee matches right there that you're giving away on free television because you can. And because this is a TV event. And they're taping it. We're going to know the results 4 or 5 hours beforehand. Still going to fucking watch.
Yeah.
You can do that with that Saturday night's main event, but they refuse to.
Yeah. All right. So also on June the 2nd, we had the MMA debut of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, of course.
At the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, Dynamite USA. Big victory in the main event over Minsoo Kim with Mauro Ranallo, Bill Goldberg, and Jay Glazer as your commentary team. So
that's an interesting commentary team. Wow.
Yeah.
What did this air on?
It was June 2nd, 2007 in L.A.
No, what like channel? Was it pay-per-view? Was it on TV?
It looks like it was pay-per-view because it says main card pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was on pay-per-view. It was, okay. It was a Showtime. Or yeah, it was on Showtime, and then the main card was on pay-per-view for $30. They thought they were going to do a lot better business in the L.A. Coliseum and did not, but just kind of lied and said they did. So.
That's crazy. You tried to sell out of 100... thousand seat stadium and you didn't. That's crazy. go ahead.
The paid gig for the event was $2.5 million, but the promoters of the event paid 2.3 of that to buy 40,000 tickets to the own show. So
yeah, it's a lot.
Didn't go great.
Money that got wasted. Well, I mean, it went great for somebody because someone took all the lack of expectations and they were like, yeah, this 6'5", 275-pound muscular behemoth, he wrestled. He was a professional wrestler. There's no way he knows how to really fight. Bullshit.
I mean, he takes this fight and then goes right into Frank Mir, so.
Right? You know? Like, which is crazy. You jumped right into the shit, and he lost to Mir. But when you think about it, like, he was very close to winning that and probably should have, that match shouldn't have been called the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, he immediately leapt into fucking Randy Couture and becoming a champion. So, like, it's crazy, you know, how quickly the plight of Brock in MMA was. And it was really, like, perfect word for it is supernova. Because as fast as it hit and as magnificent it was and as much money as he made for himself in UFC, it was over like that. He was right back to WWE, kicking ass in the WWE. But it's crazy, man. It's the one guy that wound up being the badass that he portrayed on TV.
Yep, so then we got One Night Stand 2007 from Jacksonville. We lead off with RVD against Randy Orton in a stretcher match. Lots of brawling outside the ring. RVD tries to do a dive over the top rope and lands right on his back, which did not look like it felt great. RVD gets Orton on the stretcher and pushes him up the ramp, but RVD kicks him and then puts Orton on and rolls him across the line. Gets the win, but it's short-lived because Orton does the DDT off the apron onto the floor, and RVD gets stretchered out for real. Everyone does their serious voice. And yeah, this is about it for RVD until 2013, which is crazy. He doesn't even go to TNA right away. He takes like 3 years off and then goes to TNA. All right. Vince has a premonition that something bad's going to happen, but he's not talking about his match tonight. He means something other than that.
Mm.
Spooky. Very spooky. Tommy Dreamer, Sandman, and CM Punk are in action against the New Breed in a tables match. Monty Brown was about to put Punk through the table, but Sandman hits him with a cane to fend him off, and Punk gets on the top rope and superplexes Matt Stryker through the table. It was fine.
Yeah. Nothing really offensive about it.
Yeah.
Didn't really have an issue with it.
Exactly.
Moving forward, Orton told Edge that in the past 2 weeks he's disposed of both Shawn Michaels and Rob Van Dam, and if Orton ends up on SmackDown, Edge is next. Edge told Orton that if Orton makes it to SmackDown, he'll end up just like Diesel is going to end up tonight. Then we get ourselves a ladder match between the Hardy Boys and the world's greatest tag team, Rob.
Yes. All four guys get ladders at first, and they have a standoff in the ring. Hardy stand tall. Matt and Jeff both climb the ladder at the same time, and Shelton takes it down by ramming another ladder into it. Later in the match, Shelton does an elbow drop off the top of the ladder onto Matt Hardy, who's on another ladder. Both teams are on two ladders at the end, and the Hardys push over the world's greatest tag team one and grab the titles. Just a great match here. Fantastic. Check that out if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed that
match. Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Mark Henry defeats Kane in a lumberjack match. Not really much there. World's greatest tag team, the Hardys, brawl backstage. Seems like the feud might continue. It's not going to continue, though. Lashley defeats Shane, Vince, and Umaga in a street fight to get the ECW title back, which will be short-lived for him, but,
yes, it will.
You know, whatever.
Wrapping up the most pointless feud.
Yeah. Candice defeats Melina in a pudding match.
Because...
we've come a long way.
Because.
Long way.
Edge and Batista have a steel cage match for the World Heavyweight Championship. Unfortunately, they just don't have any chemistry. Kind of sucks.
That was always weird to me. That they never really clicked together.
Yeah, it just happens, man. You remember when they did AJ Styles and Kevin Owens a few years ago for the U.S. title and it was just bad
every
time?
They tried it 3 times in a row, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Even threw Chris Jericho in the mix. And I'm like, oh.
Mm-hmm. Edge hits a spear for two, and Batista goes for a Batista bomb, but Edge grabs onto the cage and starts climbing up, which I thought was a pretty cool spot, but Batista brought him back in. Eventually, Edge kicked Batista in the groin and started to climb out, but Batista was crawling for the door. Edge hit the floor before Batista crawled out the door.
Wasn't it at Edge versus Batista? No, it was Randy Orton and Batista. Oh, what? I'm thinking Judgment Day 2009.
Mm-hmm. So Edge retained. And it's time for John Cena against Great Khali in a Falls Count Anywhere match for the WWE Championship. JR says Cena can't use the STFU because it's pinfalls only, which is not a rule in a Falls Count Anywhere match. You can win by submission.
You can. Sasha famously.
Yep, that's the one. That is the one I went to.
On the barricade, on the railing.
Which was after this. I mean, I don't know if anyone had done it before this.
No, but it's not like it was a new rule.
Falls don't just mean pinfalls, but.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. JR's losing it. He's cooked.
And he was shocked when they replaced him with Cole a year later.
Khali slams Cena's head off the announce table and the monitor just kind of disappears down into the little hole, which I'd never before. Really, it's not a bad match. They keep it short and they just kind of walk around and punch each other a bunch, like when Hogan would face someone who can't wrestle. Khali throws Cena a crane near the stage and then Cena rakes his eyes and FUs Khali off the top of the crane for the win. It's not really off the top, it's off like a little platform on it, but still looked like it hurt pretty bad.
Yeah, that's this one of Cena's iconic strongman FUs. Gets played all the time, so he got himself a moment.
I was watching something, I don't know when it was from, but it was like a clip that came across with Big Show, and he's like, yeah, John Cena's like the strongest guy I've ever been in the ring with, just the way he's able to lift you up. And I was thinking about it, like, the FU's not an easy move. You don't really get help. It's just deadlifting.
And on top of that, like, you're taking a dude like the Big Show or Umaga or Great Khali and you're putting 500 pounds on your neck.
Yeah.
You know, like I would not be shocked if that's an issue for John, you know, going on, you know, further along. Cause like, I forgot who it was. I think it was just a regular ass dude, maybe. I don't know. But like he had been, you know, tasked his life just carrying around these big, heavy equipment, you know, on his back. And go figure, he grows older and he's having spinal issues, spinal cord issues, nervous system issues, damage. You know, like that shit weighs a ton. You know, so like not only is John Cena strong physically, like it takes a lot. That takes a lot. And some dudes ain't got it like that. But John Cena was able to do it time and time again. It's crazy the amount of strength that dude had.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we move on to a new week here, which means we have new songs and new movies to talk about. So we're going to talk about the music first. Staying at number 5 is Home by Daughtry. Going down from 2 to 4 is By You a Drink. Going down from 1 to 3 is Makes Me Wonder. And then we have 2 incredibly high risers into the top 2.
Let's do number 2 first.
Jumping from 51st up to 2, where it would peak, is Shop Boys' Party Like a Rockstar.
Good Lord. Yo, like, Party Like a Rockstar was everybody's fucking ringtone.
Yep.
Or ring back tone, either one back in that day. I think that's one of like the most downloaded ringtone songs ever, like legitimately. And just out like a light. Gone. They were there and they were gone. But
And then going from 41st up to number 1, Rihanna featuring Jay-Z, Umbrella.
Yeah, it's gonna stay there for a while.
Oh yeah.
For a really long time. Her signature song, would you say? Like, she's got a bunch of them, but I feel like it always goes back to Umbrella or
yeah,
Diamonds.
Yeah, I think Diamonds have gotten up there. But yeah, it's one of those.
SOS,
obviously. Yeah, SOS was everywhere.
Yeah.
She got hits, man. What a good halftime show.
So sorry for thinking that Tierra Marie was going to end up having a better career than Rihanna. I'm so sorry.
All right, going to movies. Number 5, dropping from 3 to 5, is Spider-Man 3. Debuting at number 4 is Mr. Brooks. Going from 2 to 3 is Shrek the Third. Debuting at number 2 was Knocked Up. And staying at number 1 is Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
Knocked Up, very, very good adult movie.
Yes.
It's a shame that Katherine Heigl hated it, because I think that's the only movie that she was ever good at.
Yeah. She's apparently very difficult to work with too. Yeah. So maybe it's her fault.
Right. Everyone did the roles, even down to like Charlene Yee and Paul Rudd and all those folks. It was just a really quality fucking movie.
Yeah.
And like, I don't hate the sequel. This Is 40. I actually really like This Is 40.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
And you agree there. So let's move to Raw. June 4th from Tampa, Florida. John Cena's here. This is what he loves about this business. People in the energy. And Wade Boggs in the front row.
Wade Boggs is there. He's in a Hawaiian shirt. He's having the time of his life.
Wade Boggs.
Noted wrestling fan, Wade Boggs.
I was going to say, noted wrestling fan, inducted Hall of Famer.
He did. He sure did. So eventually Vince comes out, kind of ruins a good time and says, you know, Vince lost his title last night, so Cena's going to lose his tonight in a match against Umaga and Kali. So we're doing the thing where Vince lost a pay-per-view match and he's just going to take it out on the fucking baby faces all night.
Yeah.
We've seen a million times at this point.
Yeah.
I wish he would have had the limo blow up and he would have been off TV forever, but he also wouldn't have been off TV forever anyway, so.
No.
No, I mean, the longest, I feel like.
He would have come back for, like, WrestleMania.
Yeah. Because like, a comparable thing was back in the 90s and the very early part of 2000, after the Armageddon match, he disappeared up until a Raw at, I believe, was Continental Airlines Arena, which was 3 months later. He was like kind of on and off TV, but he was mostly there after that. He would not have been off forever.
Yeah.
Please.
Exactly.
Please. They would have had him just turn up just like any other soap opera character ever has before.
Exactly.
Listen, Vince is never going to be off television. You think Vince is off television right now because we haven't seen him since July, right? No. When Vince McMahon is dead, they will be an AI Vince McMahon.
Oh,
an
yeah.
AI Mr. McMahon. There will be a holographic Mr. McMahon. They will find a way to keep, or he will find a way to stay alive and relevant in this world and society. I don't know how, but he will. Just trust me.
Candace and Crime Time defeat Kenny and Nitro Molina. Vince yelled at Maria in the back, and Santino said he shouldn't talk to Maria like that. Vince said Santino has to go defend his title right now. Once again, just very mad at all the baby faces. Santino beat Chris Masters because there's no one else in the Raw mid-card, apparently. He's faced Chris Masters like 4 times in a row.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, what has Chris Masters done to deserve all this? Like,
nothing.
You're not even built like 2004 Triple H. You're just me.
Derek Brooks is there with some other members of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who I couldn't really identify.
Another big
wrestling
fan.
I think Matt Ryan was there. I'm not sure about anybody else, but I think it was Derek Brooks, Matt Ryan, two other dudes.
Yeah.
Derek Brooks, another big wrestling fan. He, like, calls into, like, wrestling shows and shit.
He does.
Mm-hmm. Vince was still mad and booked the Hardys versus Caden Murdock, Flair against Orton, and Carlito versus Torrey.
Yeah.
Stupid. Orton and Flair was a good TV match. We've seen enough of this to know how it goes.
Yep.
And Randy does the punt again, but Rick doesn't want the match stopped, so he hit an RKO and got the win. And decided to leave instead of doing more damage.
He still likes Rick.
He still does. Carlito told Torrey just to leave the ring and he'll take the count out win, but then he hit her with the backstabber. Because we need to do that with Carlito.
I get wanting to make him a heel, but he really doesn't need to be that kind of heel. He's not convincing.
Mm-mm.
Like,
no.
And the crowd wants to like Carlito.
That too.
You know, like, Carlito's cool. He really is cool to the crowd. And, you know, it really was no need for him to even go out and attack Torrey. I understand they turned him heel for this shit, but there was no reason for him to be heel at this time. Because, how the fuck is if Carlito is going to be heel, how is he not in that Intercontinental Championship match?
Exactly.
I don't understand that. By the way, I think it's official that Carlito's back. We're coming back soon.
Seems like it, yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like they're going to do that at the Garden, which, I mean, he should just beat Theory.
That'd be fun. He'd get a huge fucking pop.
Well, yeah, it's like what he did with Cena, you know, his first night. He beat Cena for the U.S. title, so why not have him beat Theory, too? I mean,
that's
ideally not how it is technically supposed to go, but that's just something
I guess it does kind of play in the storyline, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I want to see it.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Be cool.
Then we got the Hardys against Caden Murdock for the tag title. King wants to know if you're the world champions, you'd be split up in the draft. JR does not know. Probably shouldn't have asked it if JR didn't have a response plan, but, you know, Also, Matt's on SmackDown anyway, so everyone forgets that. Jeff missed a Swanton, and Murdoch went to pin him. Jeff put his foot on the ropes. Lance Cade knocked it off. Cade and Murdoch win the titles, beat them down after. They're heels again. They're not friends anymore.
What a shock. What a twist.
Yeah. So Cade and Murdoch, world tag champions. The Hardys are probably broken up again, by and large. So, once again, Vince in the back can't shake the feeling that something bad's going to happen. Really wish he'd stop saying that.
Yeah, stop the premonitions, man. Really wish he'd stop.
I get what they're going for, but again, knowing what we know, would really prefer him to not say that. Coach says next Monday is Mr. McMahon Appreciation Night, and it'll be a special 3-hour Monday Night Raw. And then we get John Cena against the Great Khali against Umaga for the WWE Championship. Which Khali got that feud off a crane 24 hours ago. He probably does not need to be here.
Nope.
Umaga went to throw the steps at Cena, but he ducked and they hit Khali. Umaga hits the Samoan spike on Khali, and Cena throws Umaga out of the ring and hits the FU on Khali for the win. So Khali has been beat twice now in 24 hours. Probably does not need to be around the title anymore.
Nope. Yeah, he really doesn't. I mean, if you think about it, like, 3 matches in 3 days. Like, did I really need to see Great Khali 3 straight times?
Yeah, exactly. ECW from Orlando. Lashley defeats Tommy Dreamer, Sandman, and Balls Mahoney. Kind of had to run through all of them because Vince is, you know, messing with him still. For whatever reason, Kevin Thorne defeats Stevie Richards. The New Breed defeat the Major Brothers, and CM Punk defeats Matt Stryker in the main event. So hopefully better days are ahead for CM Punk, which they are. So that's good. SmackDown, also from Orlando. We start with Cutting Edge. And Edge's guest is Vince McMahon. Edge asked Vince how he's feeling right now, and Vince being kind of weird and cryptic about evil and bad stuff coming. Once again, just please stop. Edge says that in his eyes, Vince is the world champion. He puts the world heavyweight title on Vince's lap. Vince says that Edge is no better than John Cena, and he books Edge versus Batista at Vengeance. And Edge says, you know, that's not fair. He's already beaten Batista twice, and Vince doesn't care. Life sucks, and then you die. So Vince is doing well. Mark Henry defeats the Boogeyman, and then after the match, grabs Little Boogeyman and gives him a World's Strongest Slam.
That's the entertainment I want to see.
Real heel. Vicky Guerrero comes out and books Edge against Benoit and Batista versus MVP tonight. So, I mean, those are both pretty good matches. And Vince praised her, says that she's doing a better job than Teddy Long. Jimmy Wang Yang, Brian Kendrick, and Paul London defeat Chavo, Daivari, and Jamie Noble. You haven't seen Jamie Noble in a while, so good to see him back. Yeah. I know, what's his name? The other pit bull got fired, Edge defeats Benoit. Actually, pretty good match, you know.
It is.
Obviously, doesn't matter, but. Jillian and Ashley kind of fight backstage, so they're going to keep feuding. And then Ashley gets suspended from SmackDown by Vince for, I guess, being a babyface. Deuce and Domino defeat Matt Hardy. They teamed up against him because he stood up for Ashley. And again, the whole theme of the week is Vince is just punishing everybody. It's not good.
No.
Batista beats MVP by DQ when Edge interferes. And then Batista fights back and gives Edge a spear and stands tall to end the show. So they want you to believe that maybe he can beat Edge this time. And that was SmackDown. So, yeah, I mean, I'm glad the draft is coming because everything this week was basically inconsequential.
They need to be new blood.
They do. And it's not that things get, you know, increasingly better after the draft, but at least we're past all of it and on to the next phase of everything here.
Yeah. Who are we rewarding today? Can be Cena. It can be Orton. Or it can be.
Yeah, Kate, probably Orton. He's. Yeah. Go with Randy.
Yeah, like, thank God he didn't listen when I said Caden Murdoch. It's yuck. All right. Anything else? Before we get out of here?
No.
All right. Hope you have enjoyed, almost called it Double or Nothing, Forbidden Door. I know I might. And I hope you enjoy Money in the Bank. And I can't wait to talk to you guys about it. I am Pierce. You can follow me at Cameron Santo on Twitter. Rob's at RobO'Neal31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. At BarbersChairNet on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/BarbersChairDigital. Got some good stuff in the works for you guys. Brand new show, The Shot Clock Show. Cool guys, even though they didn't use the logo I made for them, such as life. We also got some stuff coming up for you in September that you're going to want to keep an eye and an ear out for. You're going to love, very much love. You might even see an appearance by your boy, because, you know, I ain't been in Chicago in a minute, and, you know, I missed the crib. So thank you guys for joining us. Enjoy the wrestling. This has been Ruthless Aggression. We'll see you guys later.